This is the Bod Pod.
Hey, Bod Pod Squad. It's your girl, Leslie D. Tuck. I'm going to be your guest host for today's podcast. And I'm super excited to be here with Dr. Morgan Anderson. We are so excited to have her because not only is she going to be a special guest on our podcast, but she will also be one of the experts that we're having for the Confidence Series that's coming out very soon to the BodCon audience. So we're super excited and make sure to look out for that. I'm so excited because I've actually got to meet Dr. Morgan before and we were a vibe. We had so much fun and I cannot wait for you guys to see how much of a beautiful piece of work we have produced for you guys, because ultimately our goal is to help you live a more confident life. And just the fact that we have the opportunity to have our hands in that is so super exciting. Thank you, Dr. Morgan, for being here. I'm so excited to have this conversation and catch up a little bit with you.
Leslie, so excited to be hanging out with you again. We had so much fun in New York together. I was so happy that you were there on set. You were the ultimate hype woman. You just bring such good vibes. And I was like, so happy to get to meet you and have you when we were recording all the amazing content that I know the audience is going to love.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm so excited for this interview and whatever questions you have for me, I'm so ready. Let's do it.
So just to give a little bit more information. So Dr. Morgan is a clinical psychologist, and she's also a relationship coach. And she also is a host of her own podcast called Let's Get Vulnerable. Just so you guys know, if you want to check out her podcast, we'll go ahead and link that in the description box for you guys. And if you like to see these sort of conversations, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and the notification bell so that way you can see all these awesome episodes that the Bod Pod is coming together and producing for you guys. So let's get into it. So I would love to hear a lot about, I've watched a couple of your podcasts. Yes, I'm a little bit of a stalker, especially because I help with the content on social media. So it was really important that we introduce the audience to the people that we're bringing. And I was interested and intrigued by one of your TikToks or reels that you posted, just talking about your journey and you're where you are now, not easily. So I would love to hear more about your background, where you came from, and maybe why you decided to become a psychologist.
Ooh, yes. Okay. So we've got 4 hours for this interview, right?
No. We have as long as you want it to be. You're the special guest.
I'll give you all the abbreviated version. I experienced a lot of childhood trauma. I think like a lot of people who are drawn to helping professions, it can come from that place of going through your own trauma. And that was the case for me. Growing up, I lost my mom at a really young age. I was 6 years old. And then I witnessed my dad go through all these relationships that were really unhealthy. And it was just really painful to watch. And then I myself, when I started dating, I had all these toxic dating habits. Mm-hmm. And I was in bad relationship after bad relationship. And then in graduate school, here I am studying to be a clinical psychologist. I was in my second year of graduate school. And I found myself in a relationship with a narcissist. And classic narcissist, it was love bombing, fairy tale in the beginning. And it just turned into this nightmare relationship.
Yeah.
And I really lost my self-worth. I was just a shell of a human being at my lowest. And I was at this fork in the road of, wow, I can keep dating like this, or I can heal, I can work on myself, and maybe I could figure out how to have a healthy relationship. So it was at that low rock bottom point that I decided I can't live like this. I need to figure this out. And then I threw myself into attachment theory research and healing research in my doctoral program, and then had a private practice. And then as I was in traditional psychotherapy, private practice, I just realized I want to help more people. I can only see 30 people a week. Mm-hmm. And I want more people to know about attachment theory and healing. And then that's when the podcast was born. And that was 4 years ago. And now I've helped over 500 women have gone through the program that I developed. So yeah, quite the journey.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But if you looked at my childhood and you looked at my relationship history, you would have thought, wow, there's no way that this person is going to be well adjusted, that I was going to be able to now be in an incredibly healthy, securely attached, beautiful relationship for 3 years with my partner. And my life is so good. And it didn't look like it was going to turn out that way for a long time. So I always tell people, if I can become securely attached, anyone can. I overcame a lot.
Let me tell you, I'm like smiling ear to ear over here as soon as you started telling your story, because I feel like I went through a similar situation. And I know I probably should go to therapy. I do go to therapy, but not to talk about this specifically. And I was actually watching a TikTok the other day, and it was talking about attachment styles and how if you're that person that if you ask someone like, hey, what are you doing? Or are we hanging out tonight? And they don't get back to you and you freak out and then you text them a million times and then you block them. I'm like, oh, that's me. So that is like a form of, or maybe a part or something that can be considered having like a weird attachment style. And it's not.
Yes. So, disorganized attachment style. And yeah. It's relational trauma, right? It's, you're not born with those ways of being in relationships. It comes out of experiences. Like you learned that, oh, this is how I have to be. So just like anything.
To protect your heart, yourself, protect your soul. You're like, you're not going to leave me. I'm going to leave you first. So I know a little bit about it. So I would love for you to get a little bit more in depth about what it means. What attachment, you said attachment theory. Is that what you said?
Yes. That's where it all originated from, attachment theory. And it was originally studying the relationship between parents and their children. And then it was later applied to romantic relationships. But in honesty, it can be applied everywhere. Like every relationship you have, work, friends, family, and of course your significant other. And we can understand it based on attachment styles. And there's four attachment styles. So we have secure, anxious, avoidantly attached, and also disorganized attachment. So I'm happy to get into each style if you would like.
I think when I was listening to that TikTok, it was the avoidant attachment style. Like I said, I'm not 100% sure, but I hear a lot about this and I always try to relate everything. I'm always trying to give myself self-therapy. I'd be like, is that me? But what I explained with the whole freaking out and then blocking. But what I found interesting that you said is that it started with parents and children. So everybody talks so in depth about their personal relationships, but it actually starts at home. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. From 0 to 7, you are forming your beliefs about yourself and your beliefs about relationships and learning ways of being in order to get your needs met. So a lot of us develop our attachment style from ages 0 to 7, and it's based on our relationship with our caregiver. If you think about the baby, okay, that's crying in the crib, and let's say the parents never come and the baby sits there and cries, which unfortunately happens, right? This is someone who learned, I can't depend on others. I have to only depend on myself. I have to be hyper independent, and they will develop avoidant attachment style. Yeah.
You're like gut checking me right now. I'm like, wait, oh my gosh. I was like, wait, hold on. I was like getting emotional, and I'm like, I am an emotional person, so I'm not surprised.
Leslie, we're trying to make you cry today. That's
honestly
the goal.
Like, it takes nothing. I see people falling in love. It makes me cry. I'm supposed to be happy. And I'm like, what about me? But I find that very interesting. Okay. What was the moment or the turning point for you saying, I want to help people with this? I went through my personal situation, and now I want to give back and I want to be the person to help others get through this.
I think when I really started to realize I wanted to help people, it was when I noticed my clients changing. I noticed my clients were having these healthy, amazing relationships and getting engaged, and they were feeling so confident and they had high self-worth, and I was witnessing all these transformations. And it's so funny, because as therapists and as people in helping professions, it's so much easier for us to help other people. So I honestly feel like I watched a lot of my clients have transformations before I had my own. because it was easier for me to focus on other people.
Right.
So I'm seeing all my clients go through all these amazing transformations, and it's maybe I should do it too. Maybe I should apply the things that I'm teaching and actually apply them to myself. And I did. And I started to feel what it actually felt like to be emotionally regulated, to be calm, to be confident, to be securely attached, to enjoy my dating life, to actually enjoy dating. And I just knew, wow, I have to help other people do this because it's not fair. I can't just experience this for myself. Like I have to help other people.
Wow. It's like that saying, don't do as I do as I say.
That was me in the beginning. Much, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what to do, but don't watch me.
The first year or two of my business, I was just, it was like just that cliche of the relationship coach that was totally single and obsessed with her career. And I was working 14-hour days and I would just help everybody else and not myself. I finally was like, okay, and I think it's a self-worth thing for everybody listening. If you're putting off your own personal development and you're so much more comfortable taking care of other people, at the root of that is a self-worth issue of believing I'm not worthy of investing the time, the energy, the money, the resources. I'm not worthy of investing that into me. Yet I believe other people are deserving of it and I'll give my energy to everybody else. So you have to get to a place where at your core, you say, I am worthy of healing and change and investing in my well-being in my life.
Isn't that in like everything though? I, even as entrepreneurs and people in business, I tell people all the time, I say, you want to have $1 million, but you don't want to invest in a course. Just like your mental health, you want to have a healthy relationship and you want to be happy and have joy or know how to react, but you don't want to invest in therapy. So mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most important things in life is investing in yourself and in every aspect of your life. But everybody's journey is different. So you could be in a point where I want to grow spiritually. So you want to invest in that part of your life.
Yes.
It's your mental health and you want to invest in that part of your life. So I think that's a super great point. And I think it's also tough love. Like it's hard to tell people that and in the nicest way, invest in yourself or you don't really want change.
It's so true. And I think the other tough love piece of this is that a lot of people don't realize this, but they are just so much more comfortable dealing with other people's stuff or being there, being that friend that everybody goes to, being that supportive person, right? Like you're just so much more comfortable being there for everybody else. And you use that as a way to avoid dealing with your own stuff.
So good. I feel like I've been there for sure.
A lot of people.
I mean, who hasn't, right?
Yes.
Or even like the people in our family, our parents, they're so on us and our lives. And you're like, mom, get it together. You got some things you got going on. Mind your business. And you don't want to say that because you love them, but it's true. If you really love someone, you'll tell them to take care of themselves. So good.
Yes. Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, I remember for, like I said, guys, for those who don't know, this podcast should be out by the time the series is out.
Series is out.
I can talk openly about it. Woo! I'm so excited. But there was a portion where I remember you were, for first of all, you have the most calming voice. Like we were on set and I was like, I would turn to Gabrielle, who is the brand director. And I was like, I can listen to her talk all day. If you don't have a YouTube meditation page, just quit everything and do that because you have such a calming voice. But the reason why I bring that up is because there was a portion where you were doing like a meditation in your own words, right? And I would love to know, how do you feel about meditation? Or I know a lot of people get into spirituality, like law of attraction, but let's talk about the psychology behind meditation and if you do that in your regular everyday life.
I love that question. So in order for meditation to work for you, it has to be consistent. It has to be something that you're going to do on a consistent basis. If you just listen to something once, it doesn't have an impact. So I believe in practices that we can maintain for long periods of time. That's really what I believe in. And I think that meditation can be different for everyone. I think you owe it to yourself to get curious about what does it look like for me to be still with myself? Because that's ultimately what the practice is designed to do, is to bring you into your inner self. And I think for some of us, that can be a yoga class, that can be a walk, or it can be a classic meditation practice where you're focused on your breath. Whatever it is, you have to find stillness. You have to find pockets of tuning inwards to yourself. In this world that we live in, where you could be on your phone 24/7, you could literally just be entertained all hours of the day. It is a rebellion. It is a radical act to say, no, I'm going to tune into myself. And you owe it to yourself to do that on a consistent basis. So whatever that looks like for you. For me, it's in the morning. I have to do it first thing when I wake up. I sit down on my island with my coffee and I have my journal and I am present with myself. But it took me time to really make that a non-negotiable. That's what it has to become.
Oh, that's so good. I never thought of meditation being a form of something else other than like the legs crossed, fingers like this or whatever, like you would imagine meditation to be, right? Or laying down on the ground. That's what I've created in my mind is actual meditation. But I guess for me personally, my form of meditation is probably praise and worship, because I am like one of those people, faith heavy. I go to church on Sunday. I can go on I used to do these 3-mile walks every day as a challenge. And I would listen to praise and worship music. And sometimes I would just stop because it just felt so good. But maybe that was my form of meditation. Yes,
exactly. It is.
And it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. It doesn't have to be creepy and weird. It can just be what's comfortable to you. But it's like your, what is it called? Your rebellious time against society, right? You're
totally
taking time to yourself. I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. And I love talking about spirituality. And that was something in the last couple of years that's really been more developed for me. But it is that practice of tuning inwards. If you're a spiritual person, you believe that, yes, when I'm tuning inwards, I'm also tuning into my higher power. I'm connecting to something that's greater than myself. So I'm connecting to myself and I'm connecting to God, right? And I think that is, if you're not making space for that, oh, my heart is heavy for you. And I know what that's like, because that used to be me. But it can just be such a powerful, life-giving practice, just as you described. Mm-hmm. Tony Robbins talks about this practice of having time with yourself. He calls it the hour of power. He takes I love that.
Yes.
And that's what it is. It's power. When you are filled up, you are powerful. If you don't take time to fill yourself up by tuning inwards, if you don't take that time, you are depleting your power. It's that whole thing about you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to make it a non-negotiable of filling up your cup, filling up your power so that you can go and serve and give and show up in your life. And if you're not doing that, you burn out, you get resentful, you develop mental health concerns, right? If we're not doing that, everything else falls apart.
That's so good. And just for clarity purposes, guys, in my opinion, it could be with whatever you believe. So if it's God, universe, yourself, world, don't think that it has to be anything specific. That's just what we're calling it now, because that's our personal life. But whatever that you believe, that's just taking time with that world, universe, God, whatever it is. So just want to put that in there.
Even if you're not spiritual, it's just this idea of, wow, I'm creating space for what is my inner experience. Instead of being tuned outward, I'm tuned in internally.
I learned from Tony Robbins, I don't remember what book it was. I'm the worst at that. But one of my favorite affirmations is, I'm one with God and God is everything. I love it. And I can repeat it all the time, all day. And it makes me feel super duper happy and energetic. So even if people find an affirmation that makes you feel happy and energetic, that's true to yourself. I feel like that's really super helpful as well.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah. And I have this practice, this morning practice I do every morning after I do my journal. It's called my morning alignment. And I tune into my identity, essentially. It's a Google Doc that has a lot of pieces about identity. It's affirmations. It's a vision map. It's talking about my future, pictures of what I want in my life. And it really, I think of it as, okay, this is my alignment to my highest and best self. And I do that first thing in the morning, and I teach all my clients that, because I really believe in the power of vision and identity and connecting to that highest and best self. If we don't do it intentionally, it doesn't happen.
So good. I have a couple more questions for you. I know we started a little bit late, but I only have two more. But if you guys are watching, I want to just say, don't forget to give this video a thumbs up. This is such an amazing conversation. I should be writing down notes. I just can't. Like, I don't have a notebook here. But wow, I feel like I've just received so much valuable information from this, just this small conversation. But I guess taking the time and getting a coach, that's how you get the information, right? Is seeking the people who have the information, and it can change your life. You don't know if it's going to take 2 weeks, 12 weeks. It could take 3 years, but at least you're heading toward the right place. I love that. So we're the BodCon, right? So body confidence is what we usually talk about. So I would love to hear your opinion on how relationships, maybe with our parents, with our people, can affect our personal confidence, whether it's body confidence or any aspect of confidence. How can relationships affect that?
I love that we're talking about this, and I have so much I can say. We start getting messages from a young age about our worthiness and our body, and how the way that we look impacts what we're worthy of. I think about my own life, and I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to this, of as a young girl hearing my dad talk about other women, whenever he would talk about any, if she was a family friend or just any woman, the first thing he would talk about was the way that she looked. And that was how her value was determined, based on her physical appearance. And I took that to mean that if I wanted to be worth anything, I had to look a certain way. I had to be skinny. I had to be a certain ideal that I heard my dad praise, right? So all of us, whether we realize it or not, we are unconsciously internalizing messages about our worthiness and how it's connected to physical appearance. And it can be from people who maybe they're not intentionally doing it, but it's out there in the world. And that's why I love the mission of the Bod Pod and the Body Confidence Series. Like, I love the mission of, we have to directly address it. It's if we don't deal with it directly, then the default is just really poor body confidence. Like, you will have terrible body image unless you consciously deal with it directly. And unfortunately, that is the reality of our world. And I hope it changes, but I don't know that it will. I think we will always have to intentionally say, okay, I see what's out there in the world. I'm going to choose differently. I'm going to love my body. I'm going to love myself. It is not connected to my worthiness, right?
For like generations too.
Yes.
Generations. It's always going to have to be a conversation, and it's up to us to make sure that we keep the conversation going and not letting it go and pretending that it's not an issue.
Yes.
So good.
I have a 4-year-old niece, and I think about her, and I get really emotional when I think about it, but it's, I am going to do everything in my power so that she doesn't have the same experiences that I did growing up with my body. Like, I will, whenever I see her, I say, let's do our affirmations. And it's, I am smart. I am beautiful inside and out. I am more than enough. I am an incredible friend. Like, I work on that with her because I want to break those generational patterns.
I want to give a shout out to my dad, honestly, because my dad, even to this day, gets so annoyed about how we speak, like me and my sisters. He has only daughters. So we'll see a girl walking down the street and I'll be like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. And he's like, what does that even mean? Pretty. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, what's pretty? And I'm like, I don't know. She's cute. What's cute? Like, he always questions my language. Even when I'm complimenting someone, he's like always checking me like, but what does that mean? Why are you saying that? And why are you feeling a need to say that? What is pretty? What is cute? I can think something's pretty and you won't. So shout out to my dad for always checking me for my whole life. He's obnoxious. I love him to death, but that's just a little hint of things that you can't say much to him because he's always like, ah.
I love it so much.
Yeah, I just never thought of it that way. I guess my dad was opposite in that sense where, he'll say, oh, wow, like I could date her. But he never actually says, oh, she's pretty or she's gorgeous. He's just, oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. He actually point out physical things.
Like the physical attributes. Yeah. That's the thing. It's as women were taught that our physical shell, that our physical outer shell is our value. Right. And then I think back to all the time I spent in middle school and high school and college trying to get my hair to look a certain way or get my makeup done. And it was like my energy went there instead of what about developing my heart or my spiritual life or obviously school. And I just think like we can't teach women to place all their value in this physical shell because it's not fair to who we are as people, right? Mm-hmm. It's such a small portion of who we really are. Everyone is uniquely beautiful. So why spend time trying to meet this certain ideal that is just made up?
I completely agree. That's what I was saying. I was going to say, I completely agree. If there's one thing I know I'm lucky at is that I worked really hard to be a good person, and integrity is everything to me personally. And yeah. I think that like when you radiate that and that's so important to you, you just glow. So a lot of people, even when I was younger, I've always been a bigger person. I've always been in a bigger body, but I always say I don't act like I have a bigger body. I never acted like I'm a bigger person. I just live, I'm a human, and people never treated me any differently because of just my soul radiated. And I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say, but when you work on yourself internally, like you will glow, like the way you smile, the way you walk, your posture. Yeah. So I feel like your inner journey, your inner healing is just key to life.
I had a woman, I want to just tell this story. I had a woman recently who was thinking about working with me, which is a program to help you rewire your brain so you can become securely attached. That's all the inner work, right? And she said, I'm deciding between doing this or getting a tummy tuck. And she's, I just have had this belief that if I look a certain way, then I'm going to attract the partner that I want. And it was such an emotional conversation with her of breaking down those beliefs of, guess what, honey? Like, you don't have to focus on this external thing. Because I know what it's like. Like I definitely had seasons of my life where I starved myself. I overexercised. I did all the things and I would get to a certain number on the scale and then realize I am still miserable. This didn't actually change anything. Internally, I still feel the same. I'm still attracting idiot boyfriends over and over. Like it didn't do anything there. Right. So it's like, I had to just talk to her and be like, hey, let's be real. Like, nothing changes in your life until you change internally. The external things are just all a distraction from that real internal emotional change. So I'm so passionate about helping women see that.
You'll never be satisfied if it's not this, it's that, right? You'll get the tummy tuck, but then it will be the cellulite, and then it will fix the cellulite, and then it will be the eyeballs, and then you, and then it's the eye, after you fix the eyeballs, it will be the chin, and then it's the hair, and then you cut
and
your
then
hair.
It's the trends. One year this is in, and then another year this is in. It's good Lord.
The one thing that you can rely on is what you believe about yourself and what you've learned and the tools that you have in your toolbox, right?
Yes. Your self-worth, your emotional well-being, your ability to communicate, like all, nobody can take that away from you. That's your true inner essence.
I have a really good question in my mind. I think it's a really good question, but I'm one of those people that I need to know definitions to understand. I want to know what it looks like to be securely attached. What does that look like? And what does that mean? And how would I know? What are the signs? Okay. I actually am securely attached. I'm not crazy. I'm crazy. I'm always going to be crazy, but I would love to hear that. What does it look like to be securely attached?
This is one of my most favorite topics in the entire world. I love talking about secure attachment. So when you are securely attached, your self-worth just is, right? You just know that you're enough. You are worthy as you are. You're able to set boundaries. You're able to communicate assertively. You have interdependence. So not codependence and not hyper-independence, but interdependence, where you say, I can rely on me. I know I've got my back and I can rely on other people. Another thing about secure attachment, you really value the relationship with yourself. You love the relationship with yourself and you value relationships with others. And you know that both are important. And with secure attachment, you feel generally good about yourself and the world and relationships, and you trust yourself and you trust that, okay, even if difficult conversations come up, I know that I can get through them and I can become a better person on the other side. And this, maybe this relationship can even get better because of conflict, right? And you trust yourself and you trust other people, and relationships add so much value to your life.
I took a test with my therapist. I go to a church therapist. I haven't gone for a while. He was like, you need to take this test because you need to learn how you're wired. And I was like, you're right. I do need to learn how I'm wired. I took this test and I happened to be friends with the person who can read the test, which was really fun. And she was like, oh, there's one thing I love about you is that you are always constantly in a relationship with yourself. You're always dating yourself. And that is probably one of my biggest strengths, is I will go sign up for tennis lessons. And that is like, for me, taking care of me. Or I'll go get a facial and I don't have to wait for everybody else. I'll tell everybody I'm going to get a facial. Anybody want to come? And if they don't come, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
So what about that relationship with yourself? Because I'm not in a relationship and I'm pretty okay with my parents right now. So how do you have a secure attachment to yourself? Like that self-love, what does that look like for just a single person that doesn't have a relationship with others?
The securely, and it's so funny you said tennis lessons, because I just started taking tennis lessons, by the way. I was like, are you in my head?
It's the best exercise because
it's so fun.
You can have so much fun and then you're sweating to death, and then it's, who doesn't want like to be the most physically fit? If there's something about tennis, they're the most physically fit people. And it's underrated.
It's just so fun. Like I love it. Anyway, so I love the tennis, but securely attached with yourself, it's all about, okay, I am going to tune into me. I know we've talked about this, but it's, I am going to make time to spend time with myself. So that example of, hey, I'm going to go get a facial, I'm going to have tennis lessons. You're tuned into yourself. And when you realize it's something you want to do, your behaviors and your actions match up with what it is that you need. Because a lot of people, maybe they tune in and they know, hey, I really need to take a hot bath tonight, but then they don't actually do it. So when you're securely attached with yourself, you can have needs and then your behaviors match up with the needs. And then,
oh, good. Oh, yeah. That was so good. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I can go on and on. The other thing, it's all the things that I said for the relationship apply to yourself too. Okay, if you set boundaries with yourself, then you honor the boundaries. I'm going to bed at 9 o'clock. And then you actually go to bed at 9 o'clock, then you're honoring your boundaries. I think securely attached with yourself is where we all start when it comes to building secure attachment with someone else. Like you start with yourself. And then you know what it looks like and feels like, and then you can do it with another person.
I feel like I could talk to you about this for hours. And I was going to get into the whole relationship. Like, how do you become securely attached with yourself while you're with someone? But we don't have that much time left.
We'll do a part two.
For sure. I do want to ask you about the confidence series that we did with the BOD on with us. I would love to have you let everybody know what they have to look forward to, what you expect for them to get from it. Why would it be worth their time to even look at something like the confidence series that we created?
This is such a value-packed series. And I know even just the part that I contributed, not to toot my own horn, but I know it's value-packed, it's actionable, it's no fluff. It's, this is what you need to change your life. And there are so many incredible experts. I got to meet some of them when I was in New York. I just know that these are all people who have a heart for serving and really giving you things that are actually going to change your life. There's so many like resources out there, all this information we can find, but you want to make sure you're spending your time with things that are going to actually move the needle and actually make you more confident and help you heal the relationship with yourself. And I know that this series is going to do that for people. They're going to see real change when they tune in. So I am so excited for it. I can't wait for it to be here.
I had so much fun being on set. I'm like, what is it called? Like a crazy puppy and seeing squirrels. I'm like, I have to just get into everything and get into everyone's brain. I always ask like a million questions to get to know everybody. So I loved it. But thank you so much for being here with us today. And I guess the best way to end the podcast is, Rachel always asks the same question to almost everybody. What does confidence mean to you?
Confidence to me is when you feel good in your own skin, and when you're not basing your worthiness on anything external, when you're no longer outsourcing your self-worth, you're not saying, oh, I'm good enough because I got this many likes, or they like me and they like me, but you're able to just say, I like me. I am enough as I am. And I'm no longer focused on external things to tell me that I'm good enough.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Morgan. Obviously, I need to fly out to you and
we come
need to
see me.
Because I totally could see us just hanging out. And I would just be like, so what do I need to fix? I'm that person that I'm like, just fix me now. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to shout out where you can be found? We'll also put all this in the description box, guys. But where can they find you? And why not just let them know what type of coaching you have if someone's interested and they do want to make that change? How do they do that with you?
Absolutely. So you can find me the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. We talked about that, 2 episodes a week. And then Instagram is where I mostly hang out, and it's at Dr. Morgan Coaching. And in the links there, you'll see, if you click the link in my bio, there's an attachment style quiz. If you're curious about the attachment style piece, go take that quiz. It's going to tell you your attachment style. So that's very helpful. And then there's also the link to apply to the Empowered Secure Love program. This is for women. It's an 8-week program, and it helps you become securely attached so you can have the relationship that you want with yourself and relationship with others. So all that's in my Instagram bio. But I had so much fun on this conversation with you, Leslie, and I'm so excited to see you again, wherever it may be. But thank you for this.
Take that quiz. Like,
go take the quiz.
I already know. I already know I'm an avoidant. I already know. I worked on it. Well, but you know what? I want to solidify that because I like to self-diagnose a lot. So
you're so funny. Here's what I love about the quiz. You're going to love this. It gives you a percentage of each style. So you'll know, oh, I'm 75% avoidant and 25% secure, or whatever your attachment style makeup is, because we're never all one style. A lot of us have different ones also. So anyways, go take it. You'll get a percentage of each style. Can't wait to hear what your results are.
It'll be a really cool TikTok. Maybe I'll share with everybody like what my results are. I could do that on my TikTok or my socials. So guys, if you are not subscribed to our channel, go ahead and subscribe now. You can also subscribe to or follow us on Instagram at the BodCon, and you can basically stream us on all streaming platforms as well. And guys, be on the lookout for the confidence series. Like I said, we put our heart and soul into it. When you see the production, you're going to be like, is this like regular television? I like to say that it looks like they have like the confessionals and it's on television. It's beautiful the way that they produce this. So shout out to Trish. She produced that whole thing, but we're so excited. And like I said, don't forget to subscribe, like this video, and follow us on all our platforms, and download the BodCon app where we're having confidence boosting conversations all the time. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Bod Pod. We release new episodes every week, and we're available on all podcast streaming platforms and now YouTube too. Subscribe to our channels to be the first to know. Want to talk all things body confidence, enter amazing giveaways, and hear updates about the BodCon 2023? Find us on Instagram at the BodCon. My name's Rachel K. Grimm, and I'll see you next week.